I have to be honest with you, sometimes when I read the text that I'm supposed to preach on, my heart sinks. But this is not the case this week. So our gospel passage is that account of the beginning of Jesus' teaching ministry after his baptism and temptation. We hear that he returns to Galilee to preach in the power of the Spirit. But what does that mean, in the power of the Spirit? Actually, let's ask you another question. What does power mean to you? Perhaps you think of royalty, politicians, or even celebrities. These are people who wield political, cultural, and financial power. We might quite reasonably expect our leaders to be powerful in this way, to have power over their fellow human lives, making decisions that dramatically affect others. And we might idealize the powerful, imagining them to be supermen and superwomen, their value lying in their strength. But is this the model of power that Jesus gives us? Over the past few weeks, I have been reflecting about the rhetoric in partisan politics. And when I was back in Oxford in the UK, I was discussing this with one of the wardens in my former parishes. She and I have different opinions on the European Union. But we both agreed that British politics, it seems that the parties have forgotten how to disagree well, how to make decisions through judicious compromise that would serve the people. Politics, that rational science of political affairs, has been replaced by petty party politics and tribalism. You only need to turn on the news and look at the implementation of Brexit, how it's impacting the UK, or impacting the Parliament. It seems to be becoming ineffectual at this moment. It may be, of course, fascinating TV to watch, but does it serve the people of the UK and the rest of Europe? And here, as an outsider observing the political system here in the USA, it seems to me that I see both sides clinging on to an ideology that seems to put their party winning over in every little way over the good of the populace. It seems that at least in our Western world, politicians, or some of them at least, have sometimes forgotten their duty to use their power and authority for the benefit of all. Of course, it is easy to be an outsider and an armchair commentator, cheerfully criticizing the decisions of others. But close to home in the church, we see the drawing of partisan lines, the accumulation of power, and the misuse of authority. Well, I've witnessed that in the Church of England and even in churches that I've served. But power and authority are not things that we should be afraid of or rashly demonize. Yes, it is too easy to reel off example after example of corruption and inappropriate uses of power and authority. But worldly power and authority are God-given and should be used for the good and for the honoring of all in the body of Christ and for all in God's creation. It should be one of our first tasks to pray for those who serve in public office for their use of their power and authority as they face decisions that have an impact on people's lives and welfare. And close to home, we should not forget to pray for ourselves for guidance in how to use the power and authority that we have ourselves. And we should seek out and celebrate those who exercise power well. And we have a great example of that. Jesus is our perfect example. As you look through the Gospels, we see time and time again how Jesus uses his power and authority. but he does not often use it in a way that we might expect. So back to today's gospel. We read and we heard of the start of his teaching ministry, and he is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's back in his hometown, and the people are watching him expectantly, waiting to see what he will do. Because there is something about him that causes people to take notice. There's something about Jesus that demands that we take notice too. Those we heard today who heard the scripture from Jesus, Jesus told them that the scripture has been fulfilled. Jesus is the word of God and has opened the word for the people. The revelation of Christ's power and authority is shown, and the impact is still continuing. Then Jesus sat down amongst them. Rather than standing in a position of power and authority as their teachers sometimes would do in a synagogue. In this simple action, Jesus shows us that power and authority does not stop us from interacting with people at their level. Because we are all beloved children of God. And it's this message that Jesus reminds those around him of again and again. And this message is the basis of the new community that Jesus formed around himself. This is the incarnation at work. And we see in Jesus' use of his power and authority, he did not conform to the conventions of the time as he challenged actions and beliefs that did not show love. That message he preached to those who had power and authority and to those who did not, as Jesus' message was for all, his message is for all today. Jesus' good news is for all of us, and that fact binds us together. And so Paul reminds us of our connectedness with the imagery of the church as a body. There, of course, is a whole sermon series in that passage we've heard from 1 Corinthians 12. We take that image of the church as a body. We can take it beyond the church, to our community, to model this city, to model this state, to model this nation, even to model this world. St. Paul writes, "If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoices together with it." Imagine how dramatic that idea becomes if the member is one individual and the all is the whole world. Our actions as followers of Christ can and do have an impact, a power greater than we can imagine. But didn't Jesus say that the scripture has been fulfilled? But this is not a call to complacency, but to a joining in the action. As the Greek for has been fulfilled is in the perfect tense. It has happened and is continuing to happen. We here are part of the fulfillment because we are agents of God's work here on earth. We are part of God's work. Even when we feel that we can't do anything physical, we can certainly pray. And that should be the start of all our work in Christ, praying for the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit. So we come together today as different members of this one body, the church. We are united in Christ. We come together to receive Christ in word and in sacrament, as this is the source of our power and authority, which is God's. We are the walking sacraments in this world, called to go out into this world which is filled with partisan division, to show a new way. That way that St. Paul calls a still more excellent way. The way of love and compassion, not just to those who are like us, but to act out in the way, in the words that Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah. To bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. So the question is, how do you use the power and authority that has been given to you? How do you witness to Christ's power in you? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.